universe. This is like
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, here we go. Prince of Crime just said, here we go. Our last show, ladies and gentlemen, of 2021. It's Paragon Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's December 27th. Do the math. Next time we're on the air, it's 2022. Oh, my goodness. But good evening, everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. 6:34 p.m. on the East Coast. We're in the Paragon Radio News Satellite, broadcasting from a high altitude of 6.3719 feet above sea level. Go on, do the math. You figure that one out. I'm not alone. No, no, no. I'm not talking about the intern bot. No, I'm talking about numero uno, sidekick. He's mad. He's a Viking. He's from Valhalla Rising. It's a good song. Go look it up. He is mad. Viking.
There we go. And you earn points off your medal, man. Off your medal day.
My medal day? What? Ooh, what?
Valhalla? Or are we talking a different song?
That's right. You know the song. It's a good song.
Yep.
I often find it when I'm on Instagram. I usually, when scrolling through, I usually find 5 to 6 different versions of that by people singing it. Usually from a gentleman named Peyton, not Manning.
Yep.
But excellent for excellent song. Like, damn it, we got it. That's my request for Wednesday night. I'm putting it in right now. You must wait for me to show up.
You got to remind me.
But don't. It's a
we're
damn good
old.
Song.
We're both getting old. You know, the memory's starting to act like a sieve.
Oh, that's your memory, sir. That's yours. No. Anyway, happy belated, merry belated Christmas. I hope you got a lot of wonderful things or wonderful presents. And believe it or not, my favorite so far is one that you would not think of with me. I asked for a fleece blanket, and it's my favorite so far. The night before Christmas Eve, it was absolutely freezing in my room. I opened this thing up Christmas morning. I looked at everybody who said, you know, it's absolutely freezing in my room 2 nights before. You're just going to say, oh, give it to them early. Jeez. You know, it was freezing my ass off. The heat was broken in my room. You just couldn't give it to me.
Therefore, you
it
would
have been
watch time. It even more.
It was funny. I just sat in the, after I, it was like the last gift I opened. I just put it on to like, I think we've lost. I'm like, no, man, I'm here. I'm just in euphoric state of bliss. Just. I'm just enjoying it. Just leave me alone. I'm like, they're like, all right, well, set your presents up on the tree. Take your blanket in your room. I'm like, wait. No, no, no. We'll never see him the rest of the day. We have to get ready to go to his sister's. We got to cook stuff. Like, no, I'm it's like, no, I think he's gone already. But he's right. No, he's there, but he's not there. He has a queen-size bed, but he wanted a king-size blanket. Yes, because for some reason, when I saw the blanket on Amazon, the king-size versions of these fleece blankets were half price. I don't know why. Everything else is normal price. Like, that is so weird. It's like, yes, but guess what? I now have a king-size fleece. I'm just freaking happy. It's awesome. Just leave me alone. The other one I put under me, like the sleeping bag effect. I just threw the other one on the bed. And this one I just throw over me. And it's just like, wow. And plus, I got some other things. I got... You think we're done when we're through this book of the League of Regrettable Superheroes? No. No. I have regrettable supervillains and regrettable sidekicks to get through. We're set, sister. We're set for a while, kids. John Morris is the author. And wow, just wow. just wow. We got a little bit of ways to get through the superheroes, then just wow, man. Just, but anyway. Anyway, I hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. I spent it with family. That's the fun part. Just hanging out with family, just having fun, just joking around, just, you know, being silly and just laughing and just having a good old time. That's the whole point. I think that's the whole thing of it, man. Just You know, it's getting to that point where, when the younger family members get married and they start having kids again, and it's like, the place is crowded. And it got to the point some family didn't make it. And it was like, if they had shown up, we would have had to put them on the back deck, my sister's back deck. We would have had to put a tent up and an outdoor heater. So I really think next year, I told my mom, we're going to have it here. We just got the place redone by then. So, which would be cool. It would be nice to have it here. Next year, we'll have to step up again. So, I'm having surgery a week from tomorrow on my left shoulder. So,
okay. So, we might not be here next Monday.
No. We'll be here Monday. I don't know about the week after. Might take a week off. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how I feel after the surgery. Because my left shoulder, I'm right-handed, so.
I'm thinking more of the happy pills. You'd be going like,
hi, everybody. Welcome. We have a drink or two. I'm just great.
Then we would be in the tiki room.
Happy New Year. I'm still celebrating. No, you dumbass. You just sit on the pills. I don't see. Hi. We're having a great old time.
So, let's see. We are
let's
in
see who's
the
here.
Tiki room.
Oh, I do
see Chaotic Gemini. I do see a Silent Knight.
Wait a minute. I completely forgot. This is the last night of the year we're here.
Yeah.
And I did promise, we kept our promise. We did reach the goal. Well, plus. That's right, 1001, and we are here in the... Let me see if anybody added to that. Not that... No, 1001 is fantastic. Thank you, everybody. But remember, next year when we start, I am going to up it to 1002. See if we can make it. I think that would be cool if we did that for next year. But here we are.
Like, all we need is $2. $2.
$2, and we beat it.
Somewhere
$2,
John Cusack's $2. Going, what?
$2. No. Oh, I'm getting flashbacks. What?
Get the
remember,
kid on the bike.
Tiki room. That's right. That's right. Name the movie. You got to name the movie.
Better Off Dead.
There you go. You got it. There you go. I love those movies. I love those movies. Better Off Dead. Name the next one.
Yeah.
All right, Demi Moore was in it. Demi Moore played his love interest.
It's still lost.
It had to do with boats. Boat race.
Yeah. Strike three.
Okay. One crazy summer.
Okay.
Well, it's funny is they didn't do a third. I was waiting for them to do a third one, like a trilogy, and they only did those two movies.
Well, trilogy didn't fully start yet.
John, what was it? What?
Trilogies wasn't a full thing.
Wait, what was
yet.
That? You broke up. What?
Trilogies wasn't a full thing yet.
Yeah, it was, because these were like the late 80s. Oh, yeah, it was, because these came out in the late 80s. This is like mid to late 80s. When these came out. But I really thought they were going to do at least one or two more movies with these, because it was Savage. I can't remember the director's name.
Because
in those movies, John Cusack played an artist, like a different character, but he always played this like artist in each one.
Yeah. You got me.
like a cartoonist artist. Hold on, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right now. Because when you're up, then you know who. Okay, One Crazy Summer. Savage Steve Holland.
Okay.
Was the guy. Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer. I mean, those were great movies from the 80s, man. If you haven't seen either of those guys, go see both of those somehow if you can. Better Off Dead came out in 85. One Crazy Summer came out in 86. Then he did one called The New Adventures of Beans Baxter. Oh, that was a TV series. Oh, then he did a movie, How I Got Into College, in 89. That was another good movie he did.
Wasn't that Michael J. Fox?
How I Got Into College?
Or he's got Into Business.
No, that was Secret of My Success.
That's Secret, okay. Anyway, let's see. Like I said, we got Caleb Gemini in the Raptors.
Okay, wait. You know what's funny?
What's funny?
How I Got Into College, they say, is connected to Better Off Dead.
I didn't see no kid still yelling $2.
I don't know how, though. I don't know how it's connected, though.
Well, anyway, like I said, who do we have in champions?
Okay. In champions online, we have, as always, Alan and the Teddy Sins, Clarence, Mr. Number, and Clarence! I don't know what's going on with Clarence, because this week we got to fight this giant version of him led by Black Harlequin. So I don't know what's going on here with Clarence. I don't know if this Clarence is a spy for him. I don't know, man. How many times have I fought him? Tonight I got to fight him again. I got to fight him tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, three more times to get my swan tight. You better believe I'm fighting him all three times. Not this one, but the other one. So it's this Clarence and Mr. Num Num, but he's not the Teddyson version. He's this giant version of him. And then, of course, Silver Regret representing Monsoon's Pizza Party Palace. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on here, man.
Hey, well, let's see. Let's get things out of the way.
I don't know.
Updates.
And that's WCOC. Yes. All right. Go ahead.
Update. Ship of Heroes. Nothing.
You're really going through with those updates?
Yep. I haven't seen anything since October.
Yeah, nothing with those updates, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I actually have an update. Believe it or not.
Yes.
I do have one from City of Titans. Let's get ready. Combat is coming. If you ask a fan of superheroes what they find most memorable, they'll mention the characters, the costumes, the stories, and one other thing. The fights. After all, the epic struggle between good and evil. Isn't that interesting? Unless someone is getting a well-deserved thrashing. Thanks to the hard work of developer Am I Evil, our combat system is now fully functional. And we're thrilled to be able to bring you this first look at combat in City of Titans. We'll start with a breakdown of one power set and then show you the set in action against some nefarious NPCs. Let's look at the tactical combat power set from the most basic melee and ranged attacks, all the way up to the devastating top tier. The two most basic attacks are the Tier 0 Range Strike / Tier 0 Close Strike and Tier 1 Rapid Strike, all of which do light single target damage with a light resistance debuff added to Rapid Strike. And you can see here the Range Strike is throwing some like energy ball type thing here, and the close strike is like a kick to the midsection groinal area, but it's leaving some kind of trail like white, purple, and blue streaks. And then the rapid strike is like a fast punch kick combo type thing. Now tier 2 is a nerve attack, which is medium single target damage and adds a medium damage and recharge debuff. And it's like a combo, it's like a bunch of combo punch kicks. the kicks do like a mid kick, ankle kick type thing, and then the punches are like a combo kick to the midsection area. Then there's an arcing strike at tier 3, returns the light damage, but now has a cone of damage, and it can recharge other buffs. It's like a spinning kick to the head. That's all it is. That's an arcing strike. See, that's the arc. Also at tier 3 is disabling blows, continues the cone of effect, but now does medium damage over time and recharges debuffs. So let me see what this is here. Huh? Oh, it's like a spinning back fist. Okay. And it's really slow. It's like a spinning back fist, and like puts up his as he's. It's like a spinning right. It's like a spinning backhand with his right hand. As he comes back around, he puts up his left fist to block and his left knee as he's blocking. All right, now tier 4 gives the players their first self buff with tactical awareness. Using this gives the players a buff to accuracy and damage. I don't know, tactical awareness, because what he's doing is he's arching his back backwards, like he's stretching, and his fist at his side screaming. But that leaves him wide open to an attack, so I don't know what tactical awareness that is.
Yeah.
And it looks like his legs at his side, somebody can kick him in the groin. So, and then his tier 5's paralyzing strike does strong damage and adds in a hold effect. I see what kind of attack. It looks like a quick 1-2 punch in the midsection, which is the chest. Okay. Ooh, and then we have the Vortex of Pain at tier 6. It is the first point-blank area of attack, or PB AOE attack of the set, doing light damage over time and adding an armor-piercing effect. Try and describe this. It looks like it's a quick combo with a fist and a spinning low kick at the end. That's nice. And now tier 7 has two options: sweep and wild fury. Sweep can be either a cone or PB AOE, doing light damage and knock down, while wild fury is a medium damage, a DOT, and a debuff. Now the sweep, just like sweep the leg, Johnny, while his arms stay up to block a high attack. And wild fury is a wild combo of punches. Oh, tier 8 has disorienting blows, which is medium damage over a wide cone with a hold. Now the wide cone, he goes up, does a handstand, and does a quick version of Chun-Li's headstand spinning leg. Remember the spinning leg kick Chun-Li did?
Yep.
From Street Fighter?
Yep.
That's what it looks like. Just a quick version of that, not the massive. And the set ends with Tier 9's Beatdown, doing very strong damage with an improved critical hit rate. Well, it looks like just an axe kick, a massive axe kick. It looks like a 1-2 punch, then the axe kick follow-up.
Yeah.
If I could see it right, it was really fast punches. It looks like a 1-2 punch with the left, right, and then the axe kick follow-up. If I'm seeing that right, so there you go. And if that weren't enough, each of these powers will have additional effects when used as part of a combo. And we'll tell you more about combos and how they work in future updates. And now, let's see the set in action. Ooh, okay, so there's a video at the end.
Ah.
Well, I can't see anything in action because the video is all messed up.
Yeah. Whoopsie.
Boy, I hit YouTube, so maybe I can see the video on YouTube. Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, so when I share this later, you got to hit YouTube to watch it. Okay, so he's running through the park. Somebody's coming up to him, a thug. The problem is I'm seeing it from the back, so I can't really see the combo in action. You know, it would help if you start from the side. Said close strike. Great. Ooh, the guy hit him with a kick. Ooh, nice spinning kick. That was arcing strike. Rapid strike. Close strike. Rapid. Okay. Again, show these from the side.
Yeah, then I can go da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, he used two rain strikes. Rapid strike. Great. Great. He did all these attacks, and I still can't see shit. Great video. Wonderful. Okay. The video was taken from inside our test engine, so some of the graphics will be live, but I think it gives you a nice feel. It was smooth combat, but just you can't really see it. As exciting as this all looks, great. We want to stress that this is not the final version of combat, thank God. This is simply the critical first step. We'll be showing you more full power sets as things move forward, but there is a lot more work to be done. Now that we have a system that works and will respond to commands, we can start adding all the other elements that will make combat feel unique to City of Titans. The next step from here will be connect and test the user interface and the back-end code for combat. Add the back-end code for combat. Add animations, special effects suites, and sound. Or suit and sounds for each power set, add power effects, stun, DOT, etc., test, and make adjustments. Once we've made some additions and improvements, we plan on making multiple power sets available so that you can experiment. We'll tell you more about that in future updates. We'll have a lot more to show you as we move into 2022, including some interesting news about Alexandria. But until then, on behalf of all of us here at Missing Worlds Media, we hope you have a happy, safe, and joyous holiday season. Okay, there you go. That is what we have from City of Titans. Yay!
Okay. All right. Now, a little bit of news. Now, we've always talked in one form or another about comic book canon versus the social justice situation. Well, I got good news and I got bad news. What do you want? I'm hoping you would say good news.
Oh, medium news. No, the good news. Hold on. Well, first we had some bad news.
All right.
And I'll relay that. Bad news was Doctor Strange in the comic books died. Now the good news. Okay. See how I set that up for you?
Okay. They have chosen a new Sorcerer Supreme, and in my book, they got it right on the money.
Yeah.
Clea, the Sorcerer Supreme of the Dark Dimension. Clea, who is, for the longest time, was known as Doctor Strange's wife / girlfriend, has now been given the definite kudos credit that she has deserved. This is a character was there during the Stanley Jack Kirby years who taught Doctor Strange the mystic arts in the battle against Dormammu, the first one, let alone all the other ones. This is a person that saw him as a possible equal in the Sorcerer Supreme category and ended up seeing it actually happen.
This is like, you know, before he was Sorcerer Supreme, he was like magic user.
So for Clea to get the title Sorcerer Supreme for the Earth Realm, long time coming.
You didn't like my analogy? Magic user.
Yep.
That's your rank. Magic user. Me.
Oh, yeah. Even in the early comics of back in the 60s and the 70s, you saw Doctor Strange is absolutely amazed at what Clea could do.
Right.
Only made sense. Not to throw in a new character, not to throw a curveball in, you know, let's say Baron Mordo or Back to Brother
or
Voodoo.
Or magic.
The new
mutants, you know.
No.
Because she's already the master of, because like magic, she's the master of limbo. You know, she's the queen of limbo, whatever her title is there. It's like, come on, she's already got her own thing going. Come on.
So. Clea, I mean, this will please the people who worship the canons of the storyline. This will take care of people going like, we don't give women enough power. This was perfect. Absolutely.
And it isn't something
perfect.
Right. It isn't something like, oh, they're just doing that inclusion thing again. They're doing that social justice thing. No. No, it makes sense. This is the right way to do it. It's just, you know, it's somebody from the book. It's somebody who taught him. It's somebody who's very powerful. It makes sense. For God's sake, people. Wake up. Open your eyes. Do your research.
All know they're going to find a way to bring Dr. Strange back. Let's be honest amongst ourselves.
Right.
While Cleo's
in charge as Star Supreme, she's going to be working on a way to bring him back. So. Because, you know.
Now, if you're going, who's Cleo?
I'll be coming out shortly in a few months, not even. So.
Now, if you're right now going, who is
Cleo? It's not the woman from.
It's not
the woman from the Psychic Friends Network that has the hotline.
Nope.
So,
you get rid of enemies cheating on you. No, not Cleo. Clea.
Right. That's right. Clea. That's right. How do we spell that? C-L-E-A?
C-L-E-A.
That's funny. I typed it in, and right away, fictional book comic book character. And it came up with her entry as a fictional character, a sorceress appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. She is a sorceress and a disciple and lover of Doctor Strange. Created by co-plotters Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Oh, Ditko.
Clea first appeared.
Kirby.
Nope. Clea first appeared in the Doctor Strange feature in Strange Tales number 126, November 1964. Huh.
Well, the reason why I thought Kirby, because the original Doctor Strange gloves has the ever-famous Kirby crackle.
Ah, okay. I think in the 60s, everybody had a Kirby crackle after a while.
Yeah. Yes, before they were banned, the term the Kirby crackle was because of an
Kirby
art form.
Crackle. Yes, yes.
And... the thing is, the difference is, the Kirby Crackle is an honored tradition compared to the leap field, no feet, all patches. Goddamn, where did that broad chest come from on Captain America?
How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, there's a difference between a good... memory of artists and a bad memory. And that is the good news. So, finally, we're probably going to see a whole lot of people going, they finally did something right in both cases. And then you get to the movies and they're back in battle form. Because... Ghostbusters War Part. I lost count.
That's right. I'm just looking here. I'm just looking here to see what the. No, it does say here she is the Sorceress Supreme of the Dark Dimension. So.
Yep. So yeah, that she was perfect. All right. I don't know why I keep. all of a sudden my buttons are hitting for ready and run and whatnot. But anyway.
You know, she was, you know, her character was in the 1978 television film Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but not in the movies yet.
Yeah, but I never saw the 1978 film.
Oh,
sadly, I was on my grandmother's.
One.
I was on my grandmother's, and my grandfather wanted to watch the Mets play baseball. Then, so you're not watching that. I was like, whatever. Like, thanks. So I missed out on that one.
But,
he's like, what is this you're watching? Shut that off. I was like, well, the game's not on, so.
All right. Anyway, here we go. The Ghostbusters war continues. Painful.
I don't know why it's a war. It's a one-sided thing. Because, like, no one really cares about the other guys.
Well,
first
one
of all,
side, it's a holy
here's
war.
The deal.
It's a holy war.
Hold on. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you're looking, let me explain. Hold on. Love this article, and then we'll get to the war. So
all
Ghostbusters
right.
Afterlife is going to hit Blu-ray, DVD in February. So the new Ghostbusters gang is gearing up for its home video release. A little over a month after the film's theatrical debut, Sony, via Collider, has announced when fans can get their hands on their very own copy of Ghostbusters Afterlife. The sequel will hit digital platforms on January 4th, which is like next week already, next Tuesday. Wow. And it will be available in SD, HD, and 4K UHD formats. Sony has also confirmed that the film will be released on Blu-ray, 4K, and DVD on February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Sony hasn't released a full list of bonus material for the upcoming physical release. However, they were nice enough to share the cover art for the two-disc 4K version, which shows the film's younger heroes chasing after Muncher. Yes, he's Muncher. And the Ecto-1. This edition retails for $29.99 and features a 2160p video resolution, along with Dolby Vision High Dynamic Range and Dolby Atmos Immerse Audio. Meanwhile, the standard Blu-ray goes for $24.99. Okay. Let's see here. Also on February 1st, now, I really want to get this one. Sony is releasing a gift set that packages Afterlife with the first two films in the Ghostbusters franchise. Here we go. In parentheses. Sadly, defenders of the all-female 2016 reboot won't find a copy of it here. The 4K edition of the set costs a whopping $149.99 and looks like it houses all three movies inside a ghost trap slipcase. But for anyone who thinks the collection is hitting Blu-ray and DVD as well. Yes, hello? Can you hear me?
You're there. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're good.
Did you hear any of that?
Yes.
Did you hear any of that?
Yes.
Okay, you heard about the sadly defenders of the all-female
yes.
team not being
yes.
funded to reboot there? Okay. Mm-hmm. The 4K edition costs a whopping $149.99, but it's in an awesome ghost trap slipcase. But it's also going to have a Blu-ray and DVD set in the slipcase, okay? It's being called the Ghostbusters Ultimate Collection. Because Afterlife is like a sequel to the first two Ghostbusters movies. The all-female one has nothing to do with these three movies. That's why they're putting this in the collection. The all-female one wanted nothing to do with the first two movies or Afterlife. Okay? So we're all on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Are we all there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we're all cool with that. We all understood that. Yes? We're all
at least
good.
We are.
We are. Now, man. Okay, DJ Militia Takar has joined us in Champions Online. Now, before we go any further, since we're talking about, I'm going to change my costume to go Hunter Pogo. There. Okay, I changed it to my Ghost Hunter costume in Champions Online. Yes, I have my Ghost Hunter. Okay, now, please continue. Mad Vikings.
Okay. And recently, upon the news of the Ghostbusters Ultimate kit. Fag put up a tweet.
Hold on. Wait, hold on. Militia, this is not an old podcast. This is tonight. This is December 27th, 2021. Podcast.
Yeah,
this is tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately.
She thinks it's an old podcast. No, we're
no,
live.
No, it's not. No, it's just old news finding a way to come back to life. Here we go.
Yes.
From Paul Feig, and I found out it's that's how you say his name, Feig, F-E-I-G. At Sony Pictures, I know this must be a mistake. We do have a lot of fans, and Bill, Dan, and Ernie were in it, and it won the Kids' Choice Awards for Best Feature Film, came out, so I guess this was an oversight?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because the characters they played in that movie were not the Ghostbusters. The characters they played in that female reboot were not themselves. Were not the Ghostbusters. They were other characters. They played cameos, not as the Ghostbusters. Boo. Boo. And I tell you what, those are the best scenes in the whole movie. Boo. Boo, I say. I say boo. Boo.
Well,
I think the whole movie
that,
should be shot with a proton pack. I think the whole movie, that movie, should be shot in the proton pack and put in a ghost trap.
Well, not only with that in the situation here, there was recently, well, not recently, but by comparison, Dan Aykroyd had an interview talking about Ghostbusters 2016, as it's now being nicknamed.
Yes.
Where Dan Aykroyd and the Reitmans offered suggestions
Hello?
For the movie.
I lost you. I lost
you. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can
now
you hear me now?
Yeah, now I got you.
Okay.
Yes, now I got
All right.
you.
Where Dan
now
Aykroyd...
Now I got you.
Okay. Now, where Dan Aykroyd and the Reitmans offered suggestions for the movie, they didn't want it. Ray Parker Jr., made suggestions for the song. They didn't want it. They went for a way that they wanted it to do, and when they went for screen testing, they found out that, yeah, that maybe they did need a little of the stuff that the two were recommending. It went over budget, and to quote Dan Aykroyd, you will never see Paul Feig touch another Ghostbusters again. This is Dan
Correct.
Aykroyd, one of the creators, the other Harold Ramis, Ramis. When you piss off one of the guys who created, and from what I understand, Dan Aykroyd is hard to get angry. That is says something. Not to mention... I was just reading a comment. Mass death. Someone is hosting a CC in recluse, a costume contest. Recluse's victory. They're hosting a costume contest in a PvP zone.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, but it's been mentioned multiple times that the writing of the movie sucked. But don't
no.
try to tell Paul Feig and the act and the people who were in the movie that. Nope. You are an alt-right, Trump-loving, sexist bigot. No. We've seen the movie. It sucked because of the writing. If you had a story that was somewhat canon to the original Ghostbusters with the same actresses, and you could even put Thor in the pseudo Annie Potts character, and you went something with that, then it would have been better. No, it was the writing of the movie. Whoever wrote it badly. There's no getting around this one. There are people that I know that are very, very left, and even they were going, you know what? I'm sorry for yelling at you and calling you an alt-right sexist bastard. This actually happened. I have seen this happen quite a few times. Once they see the movie. But don't tell
Paul
that.
I'm just doing something here online.
What are you doing?
I'm ordering a cop. Remember the Ghostbusters, the video game came out in 2009?
Oh, yeah.
That was supposed to be the third Ghostbusters movie. I never made a copy of the game. Well, they have a copy of it remastered in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I found one
right.
slightly used for the PS4.
There
came
you
out
go.
In 2016. I'm ordering a copy now for my PS4, $37.90. So I'm just ordering it now, so don't mind me.
And from what I understand with the Ultimate...
While you're talking,
box...
I'm listening to everything you're saying. I agree with everything. Well, we share the same opinions about this damn movie. I'm just glad I never saw it in the movies. I'm glad I waited until it came on cable. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah, same here. But from what I understand, the gift set also has... the real Ghostbusters first cartoon and the Ghostbusters with the gorilla with tribute to Larry Storch and what's his name? Richard Foster?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I loved that as a kid.
Yeah, they have the
yes,
cartoon,
yes, yes.
The first cartoon of that series in it. So when Storch and Foster is considered over 2016, that says something. The two guys from F Troop got on the gift set.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if you want to put a stinger, remind them. Okay, the two guys from F Troop got into the gift set instead of you. And you have an AFK over your head going to hell, Lord Satan.
Oof. All right. It cost me $41 to get. But damn it, I'll have it by January 15th. Which is fine because I'm having surgery. And, you know, I can't play until the end of the month anyway, probably. But damn it, because that originally was supposed to be the third Ghostbusters movie.
Well, you know, like I said, if they had a story that was all female.
Yeah.
Tied in with the canon. I mean... There were so many chances to do that between the two movies and the cartoon where each one, Venkman, Spangler, Stance, and Ernie Hudson's character, I just blanked.
I know, the four ghosts, but the originals, yeah.
Yeah, where each one of them, there would be a relative coming in to fill in for X reason and kept the story going from the originals that they promised in the preview. You know, you saw the original preview, four people saved New York at this date.
Right.
And then, boom, where'd they go? They're gone. They're going like, why was this preview hated the most? Yeah, that would do it. You promised there's maybe a lineage connection.
Well, there was, if you saw the new movie.
I talk about with 2016.
Oh, yeah.
It was the,
it should have been. It definitely should have been.
It was in the scrolling words in the beginning of the 2016 preview, and you didn't see anything that came even close.
I didn't see anything connecting that with the first two movies. There was nothing.
Mm-mm.
Nothing! Nothing! You failed us! You failed this city! You failed us.
But, yeah. And
what
yet
happened?
There's, and the thing is, like I said, and as for why do they choose, because it's Reitman's and Aykroyd's baby. He who proverbially writes the checks, makes the rules.
Yes.
So you didn't want to be a part of the Ghostbusters original? You wanted to do something on your own? Fine. Congratulations. You have your movie. You're not in the box set. It was their words. They're putting their own spin.
Now I want to go watch the animated series after all. The animated series based off the two movies. I never really watched Extreme Ghostbusters either. I think I was in college at that point.
On YouTube, they have been building up both the real Ghostbusters and the Extreme Ghostbusters.
I think they're on Hulu, actually.
They're on YouTube. Forget Hulu. It's YouTube free.
But I have Hulu. What I'm saying is I have the streaming services they're on.
I was like, well, I mean, why pay when it's free there?
I'm not paying just to watch them. I mean, I already have the service, so, you know.
Oh, you want
to
record. Okay.
No, not record. I mean, I just there. I can just watch them, so that's all I'm saying.
Then you get to find out when does Feckman's voice change from Garfield the cat to another voice altogether.
Yeah, like, what?
I was like, I'll go bust some ghosts after I get some lasagna.
Now their production company is called Ghost Corp. Will they actually, you know, do it? I always wanted them to do like a Ghostbusters TV show. You know, like the first episode. They could have had, like, one of them in there saying, okay, your training is done. You know, you could be Ghostbusters in some other
state.
Reitman's,
the Reitman family are now given the green light for anyone to do their own interpretations of the Ghostbusters.
Right, now they are. Right, now they are. Like, for example, Long Island, they have a Ghostbusters fan club. And I tried to get in touch with them several times. Like, how do you join? You know, blah, blah, blah. They have an Ecto-1. Ernie Hudson was at one of the conventions. It just so happened he came by and he hung out with them for a couple hours, taking pictures and all that stuff. They had a field day.
I just saw Chaotic Gemini. Which dead body won the costume contest? I want to know.
Wait, what was the costume contest? Huh?
It was a costume contest in Recluse's Victory, a PvP zone.
Right. Oh, God. Oh, God.
You know there are some stalkers going like lined up in a row. All for me. Point.
I could run by and just
one kill. They moved to Warburg.
They moved to War. LOL. Oh, that's better.
God forbid someone has one of the nuke codes and on one of them.
Just Warburg. I could grab some. Yeah, because you could grab some nukes there and just drop it on them.
Yeah, that's also a PvP zone. And if you haven't, someone drops one of the nuke codes on your character, you are a target.
Oh, God, yeah.
You just, you know, big purple neon sign that says, heck me!
Good Lord. I remember this stalker was following me around for like an hour. And I told him, why are you following me around? He goes, following you? You have crazy defenses, man. I've been trying to hit you for the last half hour. I was left like, oh, shit, sorry. That's back in the day of City of Heroes version 1.0, when it was the good days. My character.
I mean, I'll give credit. They wanted to put doing something other than underneath the statue in Atlas Park. But a PvP.
Okay, hold on. I know. Silver Egret has now gone into her Ghost Hunter outfit. We have now, yes, the Champions Online Ghost Hunter's Paragon Dawn branch is now officially opened. Back in business. We're back in business, yes, yes.
All right, so we took a step forward of branching, giving out an olive branch to both sides of the argument, with Clea becoming the Sorceress Supreme while Doctor Strange is dead, and then we take
yes.
a step backwards. Thank you, Paul Feig.
That's right. See, it depends on how it's done properly. It all depends on how you do it.
I'm saying, if anyone complains about Clea, I'm going like, are you nuts? You don't know your comics if you're saying Clea is a bad choice.
Do you see, though? Do you see?
It's like, the only thing I can see them making a complaint is with that one Doctor Strange cover where it was a pseudo-Star Wars thing, where Doctor Strange has his hand extended with a light behind his head, and Clea is in the Leia position, just minus the Jabba the Hutt slave uniform. You know which cover I'm talking about. You know which cover I'm talking about.
Now, which one is this again? Wait, say that again. It was
Doctor Strange's cover, where he's standing prominently, hand outstretched. Behind his head is this glowing halo, and Clea is clutching his left leg in a Princess Leia.
Oh, like the Star Wars thing? Like the Princess Leia Star Wars.
Hell, Lord Satan remembers. You know, he knows what I'm talking about.
It's a possibility.
I'm going like, you know, she's weak. No, she's not weak. She's not weak.
She's far from weak.
I dare you to go into a fight with Clea and go, you're weak, zap.
Yeah.
You're toast. Literally.
Yeah.
She turned you into buttered toast. Somewhere there's a kid named Ed looking for you.
Powder. When you say powder toast, I got to do it. Sorry.
You're thinking, you're going Ren and Stimpy. Powder
yes.
toast. Fun.
That's the only way to do it. As soon as you hear it, you just got to do it. You can't help it.
All right. Well, we're coming up to the half hour. It's your favorite.
You know what that
time.
Means?
Yes.
We open we go to the ancient vault. And from the ancient vault, we unlock the voluminous tome in the tomb. Because the tome is hidden in the tomb.
We're not going to the tomb of horrors. We're going to the book. Yes.
We're going to the book. And in the book is a list of half-baked heroes from comic book history written by John Morris. Not John Morrison, John Morris. I feel sorry for him for doing this research. But he did it, and we thank him for it. We're in this book.
So we don't have to.
Is. Yes, we didn't have to do the research. We just enjoy reading of the League. Echo machine for this. League of Regrettable Superheroes. Yes. From the ages. The Golden Age. The Silver Age. And the Modern Age. But I have good news. Just when we're done with this book, you think it's over. No, thank you to my sister. Two lovely Christmas gifts. We will be able to look at supervillains and sidekicks from the years. Yes.
But one thing, I got to say this now because Captain Superman brought this up for you. At Marvel Studios is reportedly casting for fellow sorceress Clea in the sequel to Doctor Strange. The short list, and there's a picture of it, Emma Watson.
Wow. Okay, there you go.
We go from
Hogwarts to the MCU.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
I'm looking at the picture. God damn, it's perfect.
Well, there you go. Sometimes it's all it takes. Great, she's being typecast as spellcasters.
hey, it's the MCU. I don't think she's going to complain much.
That's what I mean. Like, some people get mad. Like, look, it's Marvel.
I'm looking at you in Skype.
Okay, hold on. What the hell? What is this thing you're sending me?
Instagram?
Yeah, I have Instagram. I'll look at it later. I have Instagram looking on my phone, though.
Right.
I have Instagram on my phone, not on there. Okay. All right, anyway, we'll look at it later. All right, first off, we start with the Golden Age. Okay. This hero, he has one simple catchphrase. Hold on. Let me just make sure everything's set. Okay, while I read these. Okay. While I read these, I'm just going to focus on reading from this book. So. Okay. He has one catchphrase. No guns allowed in this little gathering. He was created by Bill Everett. He debuted in Amazing Man Comics number 5. Numbering continued from the unrelated Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly. Centaur Publications, September 1939. Great act of bravery. Wearing shorts and suspenders as a superhero costume. What's funny is that he debuted in Amazing Man Comics number 5. Because his name is Amazing Man.
Oh, the actual man himself. Okay.
Yes, and he debuted at number 5. That's what we thought was funny. So, Superman was Supes, and Captain Marvel may have been a Marvel. But only Amazing Man was, well, amazing. Debuting in 1939, along with a slew of other imitators of the wildly popular Man of Steel. Amazing Man set himself apart because he delivered on his name, cover of his very first appearance, which was somehow the 5th issue of the Amazing Man comic. Amazing Man is depicted killing a venomous snake with his bare teeth while his hands and legs are bound behind him. Amazing Man was so busy juggling green Nazi gorillas and swatting jungle cats that it took him a year and a half before he got around to hefting a sedan above his head on the cover of his book, like all the other super Johnnies come lately. It helps that Amazing Man's origin is so distinctly his own. Born John Aman, A-M-A-N, yes, Aman. He spends 25 years in a mysterious lamassery. I have no idea. And graduates via a ceremony to prove his ultra-manhood. 7 deadly challenges are offered by the Council of 7. A man repeats the snake-biting trick, plays human pincushion for a knife-throwing inquisitor, introduced as Lady Zinna, the knife-thrower, which is a pretty specific job for a lamassery, and learns to supplement his tremendous strength and intelligence by transforming himself into a cloud of green mist. Aided first by a daring girl reporter named Zona Henderson, and later, my kid sidekick, Tommy the Amazing Kid, Amazing Man's matching wits with the Great Unknown, a hooded figure who wielded terrific telepathic powers. He also took time out to rattle a few Nazis when the opportunity arose. When the character entered the public domain, Amazing Man received a second lease on life, or, more accurately, 4 new leases. Malibu Comics added him to the lineup of their 1990s era super team title, The Protectors. DC Comics transformed him into the first African American member of its World War II era mega group, the All-Star Squadron. Dynamite has employed him in their Project Superpowers line, and Marvel has repurposed his given name of John Aman in adventures with Iron Fist and Captain America. So, if the character turned out to be so popular, why didn't his original incarnation catch on? Sadly, Amazing Man could fight everything but the competition, a crowded marketplace, drove the publisher, Centaur, out of business, an amazing man, into obscurity. Okay.
Suspenders and shorts.
Is your incredible. That's right. And there you go. And there's your golden age. There's your golden age hero for this week, kids.
I figured it out. I know why Amazing Man went off. Because he's dressed to go to Florida. Suspenders and a shorts.
That's why he went to retire.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now we go to the Silver Age. Let me get to our little okay.
Oh no.
Good Lord. Okay. This is a group. Their catchphrase. Hawkeye or Hawkeye. Anyway, okay. Created by original Chuck Kudera, Bob Powell, Will Eisner. The new look version was Bob Haney, Chuck Kudera, and Dick Dillon. The original debut was Military Comics number 1, Quality Comics, August 1941. The new look version, this will give it away, Black Hawk, volume number 1, number 228, DC Comics, January 1967. Uniforms, at first, totally aviation outfits. Later, ill-fitting pajamas from the superhero clearance bin. Yes, they are the new look Blackhawks. The Blackhawks, a 7-man international team of World War II fighter pilots, were big shots during the golden age of comics. They starred in 2 different books and even had their own weekly radio show. They graced the silver screen in a 15-chapter Columbia movie serial. Daring aerial aces, they defended Allied forces against airborne Axis threats and ended every mission with a rousing sing-along. But by the late 1960s, some of the luster had worn off. Nazi-related menaces were now old hat. This new generation preferred their aerial adventures to fight enemies of the Cold War, flying shiny new jets rather than archaic twin-engine bombers. A late 1960s storyline in the team's long-running comic confronted this obsolescence head-on. The Blackhawks were judged and found wanting by a panel of government officials and Silver Age superheroes, including Batman, Superman, and the Flash. Batman on the Blackhawks. To put it bluntly, they just don't swing. The U.S. government assigned the pilots new identities, ensembles, and modi operandi. Andre, the team's French Lothario, was decked out in a purple union suit with pockets full of high-tech tools. His new name, Monsieur Machine. Olaf, formerly an acrobat with a Swedish circus, was wrapped in rubber rings and encouraged to bounce around as the Leaper. Chuck, the demolitions expert, was given an absurd pair of light blue pajamas decorated with cartoon ears and became the Listener, the team's communications officer, and perhaps therapist. Polish strongman Stanislaus found himself covered expensively in solid gold armor, which granted him the power of flight as the Golden Centurion. Henderson, the team's elderly Dutch sharpshooter, became their weapons master as, wait for it, the weapons master. Once portrayed as a highly objectionable ethnic stereotype, the team's Chinese member, Chop Chop, was handed beryllium-covered gloves and, for some reason, a tuxedo. And redubbed the deadly Dr. Hands. The eponymous leader, Blackhawk, got off easy, being allowed to keep his existing uniform. the new Blackhawks became operatives for a government peacekeeping force bearing the unlikely acronym GEORGE. The group for the extermination of organizations of revenge, greed, and evil. They gamely pit their newfound powers against a few deadly robots, enemy agencies, and outlandish killers. After 14 uninspiring issues, the Blackhawks were returned to their original airborne garb for better or worse.
I just had, they break it to song, and their enemy is George. I just had the old Bugs Bunny Liberace joke coming. I wish my brother George was here.
Yes, folks, just think. Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we look at the modern age.
This is where we're going. This may be painful because we will remember it.
Yes, we will. Because the modern age is 1970s and present. Okay, so his catchphrase, all right, Reds, don't try anything stupid and you won't get hurt. This hero was created by Roy Thomas and Jim Craig, debuted in Marvel Premiere number 35, also known as Marvel Comics, April 1977. Hobbies, hula hooping to doo-wop while wearing a croon-skin cap.
Who's the name?
The hero.
What's
name?
The name? Here we go.
Oh, I didn't give the name yet. The hero name, 3D Man.
I remember him. I remember him.
Marvel Comics spent the 1970s experimenting with pretty much every fad and movement the decade had to offer. Over the course of what Arthur Tom Wolf called the Me Decade, Marvel debuted heroes and villains based on roller disco, hippies, Hell's Angels, Women's Lib, Celebrity Stuntmen, Kung Fu, and Blaxploitation films, even throwing in a generous helping of occultism spiced with a soupçon of devil worship. See Son of Satan, which we will do next week or in the upcoming weeks. With the red and green clad 3D Man, they tapped the most potent fad of all, nostalgia. Although he debuted in the late 1970s, 3D Man was a superhero set in the 1950s, complete with sock hops, Sputniks, and then Vice President Richard M. Nixon. Concreter Roy Thomas had dedicated much of his career to reviving forgotten superheroes of the golden age of comics for the benefit of modern audiences. For 3D Man, Thomas invented a new character of whole cloth, but one that was informed exclusively by events from 20 years prior. In his debut issue, 3D Man manages to drop references to the Korean War, the Soviet invasion of Hungary, Jonas Salk, Johnny Unitas, the comic strip Pogo, hey, wait a minute, comedian George Skull, the Wild One, Roger Bannister's record-breaking 4-minute mile, That's Domino, Howdy Doody, and Your Hit Parade, a then popular top 40 radio program. Whew. Confusingly, perhaps, 3D Man was in fact two men. Polio-stricken had Hal Chandler and his brother Chuck, star turned dashing test pilot. When Chuck's flight in the experimental XF-13 is interrupted by a flying saucer full of invading aliens, he's bathed in a weird energy that explosively transforms him into 3D movie-style novelty eyeglasses, complete with his static afterimage burned onto the lenses. Chuck can live again only when Hal puts on the glasses. brings his brother's red and green images into focus, and then politely passes out as the dynamic 3D man takes over. As they say, three is a magic number, even if you're a combination of two people. The Christmas-colored crime buster possesses three times the strength, speed, and endurance of a normal human, but he can remain in his three-dimensional state for only, guessed it, 3 hours. Although the character was eventually brought into modern-day Marvel Comics, most of 3D Man's published exploits center on his abbreviated career in the 1950s, when he fought such era-specific menaces as the Soviet spies of the deadly Diabolik, a temperature-manipulating villain subtly dubbed Cold Warrior, and evil shape-changing aliens masquerading as Dick Clark and President Nixon. Okay.
I want to say I remember him from a Spidey teams up with, and you remember how he teamed up with like David Letterman, the original Saturday Night Live crew. And that's where I remember him.
Oh, like Spider-Man team up. Yeah. Well, here on the cover of the first issue, they actually have here the action-packed origin of a startling new superhero from his fabulous 1950s. And 3D Man says, "Heads up, Hitman, I'm coming for you. And there's nowhere you can hide from me." And then the bad guys are saying, "Kill him or we're finished." I want to read that Son of Satan one, though, this week.
Elstrom?
We have time, right? Yeah. What?
Elstrom?
Well, we have
Son
time.
Of Satan? All right.
Well, okay, Son of Satan. Well, I remember the Son of Satan comic book. I do remember this as a comic book. So, okay. Son of Satan, my true and rightful heritage takes control, and I become my father's son. Created by Gary Friedrich and Herb Trimpe. He debuted in Ghost Rider Volume 2, Number 1, which is Marvel Comics, September 1973. Religion, he was a Jesuit. Honestly, it says so in the comics. That's what it says here. Okay. So, they say that success depends not on what you know, but on whom you know. So, surely, in the good versus evil industry, it's a big help to be directly related to the guy in charge of all the evil. Or is it? Damon Hellstrom isn't exactly following in his father's footsteps. As the demonically powered anti-hero, Son of Satan, Hellstrom pits himself against the earthly machinations of his infernal father, not to mention a host of demons and monsters from the pit, and even his own equally evil sister. In the early 1970s, Marvel was having success with a wave of heroes inspired by horror movies and monster stories. From original concoctions like Man-Thing and the Haitian hero Brother Voodoo, there's another one here we'll get to eventually, to reimagined classic menaces such as Werewolf by Night, Morbius the Living Vampire, and the Living Mummy. Living Mummy. The Son of Satan debuts in the pages of Ghost Rider, engaging with the flame-headed hero in a battle against a devil-worshipping villain called the Witch Woman, while simultaneously launching his own ongoing run in a title called Marvel Spotlight. Idle hands, as they say. Describing the Son of Satan's run as controversial is putting it lightly. Christian readers were unsettled by a superhero proudly bearing a satanic pseudonym, and readers sympathetic with Wiccan and even satanic faiths objected to the unflattering portrayals. Visually, the bare-chested and trident sporting superhero cut a unique figure. Where other heroes kept themselves to the city, Hellstrom decked out more like a glam rocker than a do-gooder, and getting around via a demon-drawn flaming chariot was typically portrayed striding through the infernal landscape's backyard, knocking over demons and posing amid a flame-bastard landscape. I'm sorry, flame-blasted landscape. Goodness gracious. An occult investigator by day, Hailstorm was bent on his mission on Earth, to foil his father's plans on the mortal plane. A never-ending battle that pitted him against the Demonic Horde with such interesting names as Cathara, Asmodeus, Ixalan, Spyros, and Alatua. Not to mention his own wicked sibling, Satana. The son of Satan isn't as high profile as he once was, but he hasn't gone anywhere. Still a fixture in the Marvel Universe, these days Hailstorm rarely employs his satanic pseudonym. There you go.
Well, the thing is, I remember him from the Defenders. He was a member of the Defenders, Doctor Strange's Defenders, with the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Valkyrie, Gargoyle.
I remember him. I remember him, too. So it's possible. It's possible.
You know, yeah, he was running around in just spandex pants. Okay, yeah, it was the 70s.
And he had the pentagram, and he had the pentagram on his chest.
Right. But as time went on, they gave him a bum rap.
Wait, Hell War Satan has got awesome. Yeah, my son is a real disappointment. Besides, I'm sorry, Hell. Yeah, you got to control your hell, your kid there, Hell War Satan.
Well, I mean, he got a bum rap after the Defenders because, you know, made Patsy Walker Hellcat go nuts, pretty much turning into, you know. There was so much potential that it could have been a good, hero, but then they screwed up, and then we get to the 90s.
The 90s were just odd comics. The 90s were just really like, yeah. I think, you know what it was? I think it was Image Comics Image Comics were just like, all the heroes were anti-heroes, and that was the new kid, and that was the like, you know, and that was like the hot thing. It was just, hold on, I need a drink here, my throat's.
Well, yeah, I figured, you know, Hellstrom was still just wearing the hot pants, and wear pouches.
Here's my thing.
You can't wear pouches.
Not so much pouches. It was like, think about it. All the top artists, right, were doing their thing. They formed a new company, Image. And basically, people had this thing, Image could do no wrong. All the kids were like, Image could do no wrong because they had Spawn. Spawn was cool. But it was like one or two comics Image had, okay? And I hate to tell you, when I was reading their stuff, I was like, it's artwork. That's all it was. It was just a bunch of splash pages with minimal story. I think Wildcats was a good thing. Spawn was cool. But outside of that, it was all crap. You know, I told my friends, like, they were buying two copies of everything Image put out. I was like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I get one to read and one to collect. Are you really reading this? Yeah, what are you talking about? Are you really, like, how come all of a sudden you guys are into comic books? What do you mean? Like, I've been collecting comic books for years. You know, through the 80s, you know, mid-early 80s, like, you know, there was a certain point when I was, you know, like 83, 84, I started reading comic books. I had my future. I didn't get everything. I didn't have much money, so I just got a few things. But I was loyal to those books. Now, all of a sudden, here it was, Image broke out, and this is when that article came out from those attorneys saying to invest in comic books, right? And that's when my friend did it, and when he got one of his other friends that we knew, and they were buying comic books. I'm like, are you doing it because they told you to invest, or are you doing it because of this? I said, see, and I was telling him that I get the books I like the stories from. I read them. I take care of them. I said, that's the true value of a comic book. And I told him about this, and I was like, wow, Chris Claremont's leaving, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, wow, woo-hoo. It's like, see, you're not a real collector. The fact Chris Claremont's leaving the X-Men, you don't get the value of that. You don't get the significance of that. He goes, what? Like, holy shit. I was like, I'm going to call, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm going to go to the comic book store at the end of March. We'll go. We're gonna, let me talk to the guys. I was like, I just found out Chris Claremont lived in. He goes, yeah, man, that's... And like 10 people who I've known there for... We were talking for like half an hour to an hour. And he's just standing there. He goes, yeah, my friend, he just started buying comic books, buying Image. He goes, oh, Image is shit. Throw a bunch of ours. Like, exactly. And everything I'm saying. You know, we're laughing. I was like, yeah, people buy an Image and they're buying all this shit. He goes, what do you think? So I was like, I think it's crap. I think it's all a bunch of splash pages. You know, everything I was saying, they were agreeing with me on. I was like, but I can't believe Chris Claremont's leaving. He goes, yeah, and the funny thing is people buying the whole Image, they don't get the significance. They're acting like, oh, big fucking deal. Who cares? Like, holy shit. He saved comic books. You know, he saved the X-Men. Like, exactly. He goes, in a year or two, they're going to be nothing. Oh, by the way, I heard this news sometime around March. There's going to be an X book coming out. Okay, a new X-Men book coming out.
Right.
Written by Chris Claremont.
Ah.
I think it's going to be called Knights of X or something like that. So. There's going to be a whole bunch of new X books coming out. I have to catch up on the whole Inferno thing. You know, the Inferno, I'm behind on that, and Trial of Magneto. It's going to be the next chapter in the X-Men, the Krakoa X-Men storyline, and these books are going to be coming out soon. And, yeah, so Chris Claremont's going to be writing. I'm like, take my money now. Give me the books. So,
well, we got less than 2 minutes to go.
Okay.
Melissa Picard got lost.
Okay. Melissa Picard? No, Melissa Picard, she's over here. She's in the WCOC studios.
Yeah, but she's over also WCOC. City of Heroes.
Okay.
She's heading back
to really quickly.
Now.
Okay, anyway, really quickly. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I want to say, everybody, thank you for tuning in this year. We couldn't have done this without you guys. I hope everybody has a happy, safe, healthy new year. We'll see you on Monday night. You guys rock. Without you guys, it would just be me and Mad Viking talking to ourselves about all these topics all the time. I want to say hopefully another year. I've been doing this almost 10 years, you know, in September. It'll be my 10th year doing this show. I can't believe it's been 10 years already I'm doing this show. So we're getting ready for a big countdown to that. Thank you, that. Thank you, Mad Viking, for helping me out do this. And for the time doing it on Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. DJ Texas is coming up next, and we'll see you all next week. Enjoy your holiday. For those people who have off this week, who are in school, whatever, enjoy your holiday vacations. Have an awesome time. I'll see you next Monday night for another Paragon Radio. Mad Viking, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Happy New
Year.
Now,
Mad Viking.
Happy New Year. Come on, G.
Yes.
And
no, we'll be. Oh, yes. And remember, like I like to say, for Happy New Year, Auld Lang Syne. And stay tuned for DJ Texas' show coming up next. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy. Stay tuned for 2022. I hope it's better than 2021. See you all later. See you next week. Okay. I think that's it. We're done.
Alright.
Another year. Another year's in the books.
Alright. I will talk to you later.
Alright. Thank you, sir. I'll see you later. I'm going to go have some dinner and just relax a little bit because I have to get up at 4 a.m. tomorrow. It's one of those weeks. Alright, then.
Yep. Okay.
I might tune in. I'll probably log in later. I got to do some missions on Champion, so I'll probably tune into the show later on. All righty. What do you want to do show next week? You want to do it here in a tiki room? Just to,
Your call. Excuse me.
We'll figure it out during the week. All right, then. I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Have a good night.
Night.
Let me log off. Where's the... All right. Logging off the show in 3, 2, 1. Have a good night. And good night from Paragon Radio. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this year. See you next week. Happy New Year.